have a newspaper clipping here. Brother Turner just sent it up. One was handed to me when I came into the church tonight. And this is sad. And this sort of bears along with tonight a little bit from the Word of God, what I was going to dwell upon. More or less about overcoming. And it seems as though there is something going on in this world all the time, because these things are conditions of the last days, leading right up to the very coming of Jesus Christ. And these things are portrayed in the Scriptures. And these, what's written here, we see just merely the current events way of putting it in present day writing. 400 clergymen signed statement condemning Israel. I'd like to say this to their congregations. Anybody that follows that type of person is going straight to hell.
Amen.
Now, some would say, oh, ain't that being narrow-minded? No, that's just being practical. That's being practical without spending a long time, wasting a lot of words and breath to say it. Anybody that ain't got spiritual mind enough to know that a man who talks like that don't even know his own Bible. And a person that would follow a preacher like that don't even know their God. They're just following a man for the religious society they're in. Brother, don't never follow a man just because you like his physical existence. Brother, if he don't show you out of the Word of God to point you to glory, brothers and sisters, how to reach glory, get away from him. If that's me, get away from me. But brother, any man that 400 Methodists. Yeah, I'm glad I got out of that miserable outfit. Ain't you, Brother Allen? I tell you, this bunch of once upon a time holy, sanctified Methodists have just about become as unholy, unsanctified. They become crankified. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, these preachers in America are really, now than that they think, because the moral majority was really played a big part in getting the election changed. Boy, these preachers are really going to come out now and talk big, and they're going to start. Lord only knows what preachers are going to be saying from now on. I'll have to say, it's one thing to preach against sin. And I'm going to preach against sin, and I'm going to preach against corruption. I'm going to preach against the miserable hypocrisy that our politicians are doing and leading the nation. But there's one thing sure, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to lay my Bible down and get out here and start participating in the political activities of it to try to make my belief and my conviction to be a truth. Because it ain't going to work. I got a letter today from more or less just a religious relief type of a society that publishes letters along asking for donations and help to feed the starving, the refugees of the world, and to show you the hypocrisy that there is in present day 20th century politics. Our nation's leaders in recent years have been great pushers of civil rights, equal rights. And brothers and sisters, I have to say, when you read the condition behind the scene, it isn't nothing but a great big bunch of hypocrisy. 90% of this stuff, brothers and sisters, somewhere's behind it, it's a communistic plot. You remember a few years ago how the communists took over in Ethiopia. Ethiopia, on the east side of Africa, laying below Egypt, facing the Red Sea area. It's actually at the south, south in the mouth of the Red Sea area. They call it the Horn of Africa. Ethiopia was taken over by the communists. Since that time, them and Somalia have been fighting because Ethiopia wants to push their way completely to the sea, make a complete takeover. Refugees, and you haven't heard this in the news because somehow or other it's fact. Seems like where the communists are butchering and slaughtering the people by the thousands, you never hear it. But just let Israel shoot three PLOs. They got to publish it that big. And then publish condemning Israel. And don't you know, that's exactly what this bunch of preachers have done. They've condemned Israel because it's supposed to be atrocities, torture, and this and that. But these same preachers never say a word about the Jews that have been actually imprisoned in Damascus, Syria, isolated, cut off, starving to death. They won't say a thing about that. In Ethiopia, as thousands and thousands of people fleeing the communist takeover, they are strafed as they're fleeing through the deserts. They are strafed by airplanes flown by Cuban communist pilots, and these same planes are maintained by East German communist mechanics to keep the planes operative. And this one man who wrote this particular article, he was in one of these refugee camps. He says, it is pathetic, horrifying. These planes come in and bomb these camps, poison the water holes in the ways of the people having to go to flee, trying to reach Somalia. 1,600,000. It says it's the biggest exodus, and it's worse than Cambodia. Tells how that many of these people, their legs are just blown off, where, in other words, where they drop these bombs, shrapnel just... And then we got a bunch of fat characters in our country. They know so much about who's right. Brothers and sisters, they need to take them and dump them in the river. We got people in this country. They don't know what's wrong. They're so fat, so full of everything. They're like a lot of the kids today. They don't know what flavor of ice cream they want. Ask them, you want strawberry? I don't know. Give them a dip of strawberry, throw it away. Give them no, they throw that away. That's America for you today. Well, when I was a kid, brothers and sisters, just show me an ice cream cone. I didn't care what flavor it was. It could have been 3-in-1 or 1-in-3 or any color, shape or fashion. Just name it, brothers and sisters. But nevertheless, I tell you, it's pathetic to think how that we try to tell the world how to give people liberty. You sometimes wonder, brothers and sisters, how come it is that some people can call liberty as long as it dwells in a certain realm, but then the communists can come a surging down through a nation just slaughtered and butchered, but they all keep still and never say a word. Well, brothers and sisters, let me say this tonight as I go into this message. Each one of us is getting a little older, but as we get a little older, this world is getting more and more just exactly like the Bible said it was. Society is getting molded, shaped just exactly the way the Bible said it would. And then to think the modern age is so blinded to the reality of the book that told you it was going to be this way. That's the sad, pathetic picture. When this generation today, oh, if they only realize this is the only book that tells you the outcome of this thing. Not a book in this world that told you that the moral condition of every nation would be like this. But think of it. The last chapter in this book, the last book in the book, was written 1900 years ago. Not been one chapter written since then. And brother, she's just a moving right down the line. Nation decaying and falling away. And that's exactly what the Old Testament prophet Zechariah portrayed in the nations. All the nations of the world be against Israel. God said he would just tear them to pieces. So brothers and sisters, when preachers who are supposed to be Christian clergymen, believers in Jesus Christ, how can they pick up the Bible, stand in the pulpit this Sunday morning and tell lost mankind what to do, how to get ready for this, for eternal life? And then they become so obligated, involved in perverted politics that goes completely contrary to the Word of God. It beats me. But the Bible said it would be this way. So tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, 2 Timothy. I want to read the whole chapter, because I read some of it the other night, but we want to use one particular verse as a text. Second Timothy chapter 3. It's dealings with more or less the conditions of the last days. Not another book in the world has told mankind it was going to be like this. But the Apostle Paul in 66 AD, as he wrote this epistle to Timothy, said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall be." Perilous times. We're living in the day when our modern society is so bent, and they expend extravagant sums of money for means of safety. From the natural standpoint of man, he's become completely anti-risk. He don't want to risk anything. He's got to have safety built into every gadget, contraption, mechanical thing there is a movement. He's got to have safety devices in it. It's become a law. But yet right here is a book that tells us that this, know that in the latter days, perilous times, that means dangerous times, terrible times, as we move to make our highways safe for modern travel, as we do everything in the realms of aeronautics to make commercial airlines more safer to travel, less vulnerable to broken bolts, cracked braces here and there, as we build in every kind of a safety factor into all of the modern contraptions that you find in the modern home, from the automatic washer to the dryer, safety devices. Law requires that you do this. If it's not there, you can sue the company. But I want you to know tonight, brothers and sisters, there is a danger lurking in the face of every one of you here. It's not a physical danger. It's a spiritual danger. And modern man has not solved this one bit. In fact, modern man is flirting with spiritual death. He's courting it. In fact, modern man is spiritually dead already and don't know it. He is so spiritually dead, he is no longer sensitive to the spiritual forces of evil that are lurking. He treats it just as some kind of a cycle of man that he's going through, and sooner or later he's going to educate himself out of this. Oh no. Man has been here 6,000 years wrestling with his old nature. And he hasn't got a bit better with it yet. Man has changed his styles of clothing as time has came and gone. Some of it was brought about through necessity. Wherever he was found, whatever environment he was found in, the necessity that he was in, the conditions forced him to change whatever mode or style or kind of material that he was wearing to keep himself warm, cool, or what. He changes this. He's aware of this. But man has done nothing. That is, in himself, he's done nothing to help himself with the old self that he is. He's in a miserable shape. And it's getting worse, just like the Bible said. Yes, this perilous times, brothers and sisters, I want you to know it's a word that describes the conditions of the world at large today. And I'm not just limiting it, Lord, brothers and sisters, to just to the immoral picture down there in the honky-tonk, the beer parlors. No, I am saying that this spirit goes right straight on into the religious world. If you were not tonight guided by the grace of God, I know exactly where we would all be, following this bunch of hoodlums. That's all they are. They are not interested one bit in pointing you to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They use the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, and that religious cloak they wear to deceive people and mislead, because they're already blind themselves. As the scripture says, if the blind lead the blind, where will they go? They'll both fall in the ditch. How can an unconverted preacher get somebody converted? How can an unspiritual preacher lead anybody into spirituality? How can a man that's already deceived get somebody out of deception? How can a man that is bound by alcohol help someone else that's already in the same shape? How can a drowning man help someone else that's drowning along by his side? Well, that's the picture of the world tonight that we live in. And every mortal creature is trying to reach out and condemn somebody else. Well, actually, behind it all, it's the devil. So we truly live in a perilous time. It's a dangerous time. It's not that you can step out and every kind of a gadget is running around to grind you into hamburger or sausage. But spiritually speaking, brothers and sisters, there's every kind of a spirit working, lurking, setting traps, creating types of things to mislead, misguide you, to blind you. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Brother, what a picture. You can watch the news, you can get the actual picture today. There is a percentage of mankind today, the only thing he loves is himself. When you hear of the numbers of young people that go out to get married, and then a few months later, bingo, it's gone to pieces. What does this all tell us, brothers and sisters? Somewhere, somebody has forgot the rule. They forget that marriage is a two-way street, not a one-way street. But some people think that it's just a one-way street. It's all for my way. Oh, no, brothers and sisters. Marriage never will work like that. No, sir. Not long as man has this fallen carnal nature within him, he's got to realize there's something in him himself he's got to control and to conquer. Yes, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They think nothing but just themselves. And in this, it leads them to be covetous. Covetous. It's a word that describes the uncontrolled nature of a person. They're never content They want more and more and more. Nothing satisfies. Covetous is nothing but an uncontrolled desire to want, to want, to want. And many times when somebody gets something other that they ain't got, they never can sleep, they never can rest, they get the heartburn, they get nervous, they get all kinds of sickness upon them until they got the same or better. Some people hate to see somebody else get a little something a little better than them. It goes to show, it is absolutely a lustful, uncontrolled desire to want in excess of really self's needs. God has promised to supply all our needs according to His riches. God never did promise to meet everything, to give me everything I wanted. I realize, brothers and sisters, in the world we live, you are constantly confronted with the fact you've got eyes to see. Many times you see things, well, I'd like to have that. The wrong is not saying, I'd like to have it, but the wrong is when we look at it and we let the looks of that thing become so enticing to us, it just absolutely tears us to pieces till we get it. And then after a while, that thing just creates something about us that we can't master it. Possessing it can't keep us in the will of God. That it tears us all to pieces. And this is exactly what a covetous life becomes. And man's nature in years and centuries gone by before the grace of God came to us Gentiles, the background of us Gentiles was literally nothing but a bunch of people who was filled with every kind of a lustful crave for this and that. And in reality, the Gentile background, he was not much better than an animal. It's pictured, brothers and sisters, that many times the barbarian people, they were so uncontrolled in their nature. When they got mad, they didn't stop until they got you. We've always wondered, why did it take the world so long to be populated? It's very strange. Did you know that the world has reached its population level right now? And I forget what the percentage is. It's just been the last few decades that it's reached this. And yet we fought two wars that has killed more people than all the rest of the wars of history of man put together. But yet, all of a sudden, now here, we're at the brink of overpopulation. But when you go back in history, brothers and sisters, I want you to know the ancestral background was brutal. Life was short. All because man was uncontrolled. But all of that, as Paul is describing here, lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. This is the day, brothers and sisters, they don't care to open their mouth and speak evil of things that used to be looked upon as good principles, good conduct. This is a day the mouth has become so filthy and vile with words of vulgarity, derogatory statements to rip and tear everything that older societies thought was right. They condemn it into the mud today because it does not. This is the day they will even tell you, don't bottle it up. Let it go. Well, now some psychiatrists might tell you that. But when you come to me, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you one thing. This Bible says, bringing every thought, every imagination, or under subjection. But a psychiatrist said, let it go. Don't bottle it up. That's a good way to tell the devil to tell you, go straight to hell. When you see people, brothers and sisters, they just get so full of something or other, they just can't contain themselves. I have to say, there's something wrong with that person. That person needs a good dose of the grace of God. Because you know why? In old Dodge City, Kansas, there's many a man in boot heel because he couldn't control it and he just let her go. Now, that's a carnal statement that I'm giving you. But let some psychiatrist in those days say, don't bottle it up, let her go. Do it and somebody's going to shoot you too. So don't always pay to let it go. It pays. And then how in the world can you please everybody in a modern society? Keep it cool. One said, keep it cool, and the other said, let her go. Let her go means just plain old hothead. It goes to show this society is mixed up. The Bible, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, Peter was a man, had a lot of problems in controlling his old, didn't he? And he wasn't worth a dime till the Holy Ghost got in him. And then the Lord could use him. Yes. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Year before last, it was the year of the child. I'll never forget. I forget what country it was. Passed a law. It is wrong. It is contrary to proper, I believe it was a Sweden or somewhere. But they could get you for a criminal act for punishing a little child. Then the past year of 80 we went through, the year of the family. Brothers and sisters, this world's been here 6,000 years. And I want you to know, we're having more problems now with children and how to keep the family together. The more educated we get, the further we get out from the away from the basics of what it's all about and why we're here. It's sad when you read how an adult can take a little child and torture it and let a dog eat its legs off or stick its feet into a food chopper. But you know why they do that? Because somewhere that person wasn't raised right. Some words that person didn't have no upbringing. Now, I hope I didn't say anything tonight for you to get the wrong idea. Brothers and sisters, 65 and 70 years ago, child abuse in that manner was rarely heard of. And I want you to know, the law usually took care of it when it got so extreme. But I'll tell you now, brothers and sisters, we've turned it loose. And it's bringing people into the world and they're not going to know what a family's all about. And a poor, helpless little child that's caught in their midst. It's pitiful. And I have to say, the devil has sure harnessed this generation of society, blinded them against the principles of the Bible, and trying to educate people in another way. It ain't going to work. Did you know, brothers and sisters, you can't have a free, immoral society without having to pay the penalty of the side effects that go with it. That's the Word of God. As long as Israel would adhere to the principles of God's Word, God promised His blessings and protection with them. But the minute they turned their back on the Word of God, and they lusted for every kind of a spirit that the Gentiles about them was doing, God gave them over to this excess. But when they got what they wanted, they got all the side effects with it. And the side effects is what really gnaws at the soul, the center of it. And then that's what makes them cry, "Oh God!" No, you cannot laugh at God's ways, His Word, and get by with it. You're going to pay for it. Without natural affection, no wonder we got so much perversion. Truce breakers. Never heard so much, brothers and sisters, of traitors in your life. You don't know, in modern society, you don't know what to trust. The man that would work in a factory by your side for years and years is liable to be the very man that can sell you for a few dollars. This is the day that people will do anything for a dollar. It means a lot. This is a day also that people will do anything for a name in society. No wonder a nation can't win anything. No wonder a nation is losing its image, its stature in the eyes of the world. It's so filled with people that they don't know what they want to do. And that's why America today has become a nation laughed at, scoffed, and ridiculed. When it used to be, brothers and sisters, from World War I to World War II, let American doughboy or GI step on the shores of some foreign country, he was looked upon as a lifesaver. But no more. Traitors, heady. Can't tell them nothing. Got a head of their own. High-minded. All of this is a spirit of modern man. Lovers of pleasure. We spend billions to better educate a society. And brothers and sisters, about all we can boast of, we got better basketball teams than we had 50 years ago. We got better football teams. They're bigger, more brawnier. More muscular. They can just look at you and knock you flat. Roll you out like a pancake. This is what we're known by. We're like old Rome with our gladiators. I'm telling you, them gladiators were so brutal and mean, they come into the arenas with blood drooling out of the corners of their mouth. Where's he at? Almost like a beast. Because that was what they was taught from a child up, to be a gladiator, to be a fighter. That was his life. That's all he knew. Did you ever read about Justin the Martyr? Saint Justin is called. They call him Justin the Martyr. He was martyred. Where? In the gladiator ring. When he saw these gladiators coming at each other to cut and slash and kill, he looked upon them and he loved God so much, he run between them and begged them, in the name of Jesus Christ, to not do this. You know what they did? They killed him so they could get at each other. But somehow or other, that was the turning point in society at that hour. The fact that a Christian saint come between two gladiators and begged them in the name of Jesus Christ to not do this terrible, sinful thing. And they killed him before all those spectators who was hungry for blood. That's modern man today. Boy, I tell you, modern man is as crazy as all get out. He hollers safety devices. If he gets his fingernail hurt in the factory where he works, he's ready to sue the place. Yes, he is. I want to just show you how silly and what kind of a society we've become. Now, don't go away and say I was preached crazy tonight. Just listen to me. Boy, they get these big characters out on a football field. They knock each other end over end. And don't think they don't come up once in a while with broken ribs, broken toes, dislocated knee joints. They do. I hear practically every year, this and Kate play. He's out for so many months. If that same fellow had been in a factory for some words, he'd have sued the thing. How many knows what I'm talking about? We become a nation so lovable for pleasure. America used to not be like this. That's about all we are known for anymore. Our pleasure, our ball teams. Now don't go around tonight and say, Jackson, he's against this and he's against that. I'm not against going out here and throwing a ball and batting it. But why do we have to become so engrossed and so crazy that we become a runaway society, that we lose the principles of really what we're here for? Boy, we'll fill our arenas, Sunday ball games, by the thousands. And I couldn't help but notice, I forget how many weeks ago, it showed it in the news one night. There was going to be some big event. And I forget where this was at. Some of you might remember. And there was people wanting to get into that place so bad. They was literally lifting them up and they was transporting them overhead and some was being trampled underfoot. What does it let me know? We have become a nation so filled with the lust of pleasure. It drives us insane. It's bad, brothers and sisters. But let it be published. There's going to be a meeting in such and such a place. And the word of God is going to be preached. And how many want to go to glory? Brother and sister. You could haul them in one bus and three taxis. That's a fact. That's America for you. And then tell me old Paul missed it when he said, in the last days, perilous times. He wasn't talking about it's going to be hard for you to get this through this world physically. No. Did you know, brothers and sisters, in my own lifetime, through modern medicine, safety devices, better comfort, in America, they have lifted the lifespan of man. I forget how many years now. And it's growing every decade. He's getting on. So Paul didn't have in mind it's going to be hard to live physically. I know out here on these interstates, somewhere between here and Chicago, probably somebody is being killed right now. That's the law of society. No matter how safe you make it, it just seemed like some has to die that way. But my point and statement and meaning tonight is, when Paul said, knowing therefore that in the latter days perilous times will come, he wasn't talking about our highest way to be filled so full of holes. You're going to have a head-on clash with a culvert somewheres. Airplanes are going to fall out of the sky by the dozens. No. But the devil is going to be in society in such an uncontrolled, undisciplined way that mankind, he is a victim to all these kind of a spirits. And brothers and sisters, man's not aware of it, but people are being slaughtered and butchered and devoured by the devil tonight by the thousands. And they don't even know it. Yeah, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And America today is no longer a nation that's known to be the nation that respects God on Sunday. May I tell you, there's more gambling, more perversion, more activity in the realms of the immoral done on Sundays than any other day of the week, because it's a day when people are off from work. Boy, if they're going to do anything bad, wrong, Sunday's the day we're going to do it. Only day I got to do this and get sobered up and get ready for Monday morning. So that's the way Sunday is anymore. And it starts from Saturday through Sunday in most places. Yeah, we wonder. More than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Well, once in a while when Christmas time comes, as far as the world's concerned, they put on that new little suit and that new little dress, and they get all flowered up and perfumed up. And well, what church should we go to today? What does it matter? You're not going to go nowhere with it. God's not going to talk with you because you didn't come in the first place in the right way. But that's America for you. That's the world for you today. They think that going to church on Christmas and on Easter and when Aunt Lucy died is about all that's required. If that's all you want to give God, forget it. God's not interested in you. When you live for God, you live for Him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Because when the Pharisee asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? I shall love the Lord thy God and Him only. And then he added something to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But when he interpreted, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That means your energy, your vitality, your strength. Oh, I'm tired tonight. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, when it gets to the place, now, don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. I know there's times, yes, that you can be so sick, you wouldn't even go to work. So that's why you wouldn't go to church. But you know, brothers and sisters, when it gets to the place that our energy and our vitality and our enthusiasm becomes for everything we do in this natural life, but we ain't got nothing left to give to God, I'm afraid we're going to come up short, brothers and sisters, when we come to that day, we're laid in a little box. And we want God to take us by the hand and guide us across the river of death. Because we've got nothing to offer Him but an old shell. God don't want a shell. He wants a little bit of you left before the devil expends every bit of you. He wants at least a little bit of your mind. He wants a little bit of your energy. Some people, did you know, brothers and sisters, it's amazing. Some people can go through life, and I've noticed this. Their knuckles can get so swelled with arthritis. They can get where they can hardly walk. But going to the house of God is just part of them. Because it's the way they want to live and serve God. And others, they can mash their finger. Well, I can't go tonight. My thumb hurts me. There's something wrong somewhere. Well, we'll get this thing finished up here in a minute. Yes, we've got a form of godliness. Yes, yeah, the kind we keep it in the closet. We can put it on any time we want to. And we can dress it up, make it look like just about anything for any occasion. Having a form of godliness but denying the power that changes the old you and me, that puts a new enthusiasm, new joy. Boy, you know, it's funny to watch what just some little new something or other, how much kick it really puts in them. Well, I better leave this one alone because it might be misunderstood, but please, brothers and sisters, it's funny in a way just to watch people sometimes, how they react in life. Something new. Oh, they just got something new. And oh, my land, they're worse than a little puppy. Just give a little pup something or other, you know, that really tickles him. And I'm telling you, the little old tail's just going like that. Oh, he's all over. He's licking you all over. He's the happiest little critter that ever walked. And some people are that way. Just let a little something or other new. Oh, it really thrills them. But God can come along and do something other marvelous, maybe saving their life. Now, we had a disaster occurred in our neighborhood yesterday. I'd been over to the dentist. I took my wife and my mother-in-law over to the dentist at New Salisbury and had some teeth filled. Come back, just got home, and the news was going around. A neighbor lived just about a mile and a half of us. He went out in the woods with his tractor. He'd cut some wood. He had a high lift on the front of the tractor. He'd filled it with wood and raised it up. Evidently, he'd raised it up too high, and it made the tractor top heavy. And it's probably been in the news. I don't know. But anyway, this tractor upset and turned over three times. And it fell into the pond. It happened that the ice was so thick it didn't break through. Otherwise, the man would have drowned. But it pinned him there, and they sent the word out. The Elizabeth Fire Department was sent out. Well, by that time, different ones got in there, and they finally got the tractor off of him. But the point is, I'm using it as an illustration tonight, brothers and sisters. They thought while he was still under there, he might have his legs broke. But the last word is today that he come out of it all right, not injured. I have to say, brothers and sisters, when you can become involved in a case like that, that's a miracle. Somewhere the hand of God was protecting that man, because I have to say he wasn't ready to go. But there's hardly a year goes by but what we don't hear of somebody being killed by a tractor, upsetting, rearing up, turned over backwards on him. I just say this tonight, brothers and sisters. These things can happen to some people, and they soon forget it. It can happen to others, and they realize why it happened. Brothers and sisters, let's don't take things lightly when we see the hand of God. Yes, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, says, from such turn away. Now you know why I said anybody that follows this type of preacher, he's just leading them straight down the road to hell. Because he's got no revelation himself. He hadn't even got the Spirit of God leading him. He's in the spirit of the world. The devil's got him blindfolded. And thousands and millions of people will follow this, thinking, oh, well, he's religious. Just because he's religious don't mean that it's of God. There's always been people on this world religious, but that didn't mean that it was the right way. Well, I want to come on down to the 13th verse. This is really what my text was going to be up on tonight. But evil men and seducers, 13th verse, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's a picture of today. That's a picture of the religious world. It's a picture of the modern political society. modern world is trying to dress this Western world up into such a free society, educated, thinking that everybody is going to get suddenly one of these days where they just love everyone, love each other, so just love them to death. Brother and sister, this modern religious world is being brainwashed for the hour of the Antichrist. The other day, I stepped out the den room and David had the TV turned on. The PTL club was on. And I'm not making fun. I don't believe in making fun because I could be right in the same shape tonight. I am, by the grace of God, where I am because of His goodness. But I have to realize tonight, when God one day did reach down His hand and saved my soul, He put a hunger in my soul, in my heart, for His Word. That's why tonight, brothers and sisters, somehow or other, I just wasn't content in that Methodist church. When I got to searching and I got to hunger and I got to digging, then God by His grace led us out. But I couldn't help but watch. And let me say this, I will never belittle the testimony of a man or a woman who can testify and say, God heal me of cancer, God heal me of TB or anything. No, sir. May God be glorified. I have to say there, thank the Lord for His grace that was so good to that person. But when I see those poor souls caught up in a society of modern religion that's not going to tell them anymore from the Word of God, I have to say, God pity the man or the woman that's left to wander in darkness, not knowing the truth of God's Word. As the song goes, God pity the man that's rich in this world's goods and all these things, but he hasn't got God according to His Word. And I couldn't help but notice men and women, how they was portrayed there. Yes, my, with their lib suits on. You can see this spirit of modern society. As the political world is going after equal rights for women, now it's in religion. This lets me know, brothers and sisters, it's a spirit of Antichrist. It's going to get you. Unless the Spirit of God's in your life to guide you according to His Word. With their eyes all painted up, their eyebrows all glued on. And they think they're pretty. They're not pretty. They're ugly. Yes. That's right. They're ugly. Get all that black stuff around their eyes. They look like they're sick. Now, it's a fact. Sometimes people have certain sicknesses, you know, working in their system, and you say, well, there's something wrong with them. They got dark circles around their eyes. You say they're sick. But it's very strange. They'll go get some of this old black gunk out of a department store somewhere and smear it all over their face. They may not be sick physically, but they're sick mentally. That's right. Sick mentally. They don't even look healthy. Well, the prettiest women there is in this world is the woman that knows how to take her natural hair, her natural face, her natural God-given beauty, and dress it up and portray it the way God wants it to look. It's pitiful, brothers and sisters, to see modern woman, how she thinks she has to flower herself up to make herself look pretty. She is a miserable-looking thing. Time she gets all dressed up in that lib suit and she gets all that paint on and she gets all this and that on her, why, brothers and sisters, just pray for me, brothers and sisters. I can't help it. I see some of this stuff and it's laughable. It is. You just want to walk up and say to those poor souls, where are you going? It reminds me of the little story of the man. He came home from work one day. his wife had been out shopping. When she bought her a new dress, and she got dressed up in it, and the minute her husband come in the door, why, she met him and she thought, well, she'd be nice looking for him tonight. And so when he come in the door, and she met him and hugged him and kissed him, and she said, honey, how do you like my new dress? Well, he backed off and looked at her, and he steadied a little bit. He says, well, he says, honey, he says, I just got one thing to say. He says, I can't decide whether you're trying to get in it or out of it. So that's just the way it is today. Can't decide whether you're trying to get in it or out of it. But you see how the world has become today. So may the Lord help us. I as I say all of that, if it weren't for the grace of God, I know where I could be tonight. I could either be in the ground or setting some old ball game, not thinking there is any more to life than just what this present world has to offer. But you know, since I found Jesus 30 some years ago, I ain't found anything better than this. In fact, brothers and sisters, I've been so happy, I just haven't had time to go to the ball games. I just haven't had time. I just thank the Lord tonight. He's wonderful. Shall we stand? Father, tonight we look to the eternal God. We know you're real. We know it is you in your grace and omnipotency that reached down your hand of power and mercy, lifted us up out of this world of filth and corruption, of evil. You planted us into a kingdom in Jesus the Christ. Lord, I thank you tonight that one day you opened mine eyes. I thank you tonight that you let me see, Lord, the joy, the beauty there is in living to be able to know you. The peace of mind that can far surpass everything there is that this world can offer as far as entertainment. I thank you tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that these words can be used in some little way to encourage, to uplift, and to just help some precious soul to just want to press on a little further, Lord, with a little more energy and a little more effort, being grateful to you, Lord, for everything you've done for them. Lord, I pray tonight that you just help each one of us in these closing days of time as we see all the danger, spiritually speaking, and the evil that's on every hand. How present it is about us. It makes the environment so dangerous. Yet, God, we know it's your protecting hand that guides us through all this world. Lord, may we ever be found living with our hearts pure and clean, our hands pure and clean. Lord, that our lives can be dwelt in by the Holy Ghost. Keep us ever true to you, Lord. We ask it and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Father, once I say unto thee, as thou hast journeyed this way, I have looked upon thy heart, and I say, I see thy desire. But I say unto thee, my little ones, be hasty in nothing. I say, wait upon me and seek me with all thy heart. For I say, in so doing I shall leave thee. For have I not brought thee into this place that thou might see my word, that thou might see my light shining upon thy pathway, that I might lead thee and guide thee? For I say unto thee, thou shalt be tried, thou shalt be tested. But I say, have they not of old been likewise? And was not my grace sufficient then? So shall it be in thy life, if thou shalt fully trust in me. So, my little ones, as thou dost walk this way, I say, seek me with all thy heart. Wait upon me. And thou shalt be an overcomer in every situation, saith the Lord. But I say, my little ones, be patient in all things. And in so doing, thou shalt be good soldiers of mine, saith the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.